Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations. It's Friday, December 22nd. So glad you're with me today. Happy Friday and happy weekend coming up, and Merry Christmas. We're very excited about that here at Faith Radio, and we want to pass along our joy that we have in our heart for the birth of our Savior. What a gift was given, and we're very happy and excited about that. In Luke chapter 2, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" So that is the joy we have in our heart here, and I hope you have it as well. I want to talk about a couple of things. I want to get Carmen LaBurge on. She's already on our studio line, so we're going to chat with her in just a minute. I'm trying to throw Rebecca a little curveball today. Word of the day would be, let's see, it's abdormission. Abdormission.
And that's not the word you just made up.
No, it's not. It sounds like a word I made up. Abdormission. That's you know what that is? It's numbness in a limb. It's usually caused by pressure on a nerve. It's also known as falling asleep. You know when your foot falls asleep?
Oh, I see.
I hate when that happens, when my foot falls asleep during the day, because then it's up all night.
Oh. Shouldn't drink all that coffee. Go straight to your big toe.
I found this interesting. If you're looking for a shopping idea, Nordstrom is selling a $1,000 T-shirt dress. It's literally a white T-shirt dress that goes down to the floor. That's it. That's all there is, and it's $1,000, and apparently it's sold out in several sizes. In addition to a sales tax, I think they should also add on a sucker tax. You paid what for that? Are you kidding? Oh, boy.
I feel like I've got some things with resale value in my closet.
That's unbelievable. So if you're looking for last-minute gift ideas, I would say that's not a very good one. Anyway, it's 6 minutes after the hour. We'll take a very, very short break and then bring on Carmen. Good morning. It's 8 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday. Aren't you glad that the weekend is here? And Christmas is coming up Sunday, Monday. We're very excited about that. So Merry Christmas. I don't ever get tired of saying that. I have Carmen LaBurge with me on my studio line. Good morning, Carmen.
Good morning, Bill.
How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Today is going to be a longer day than yesterday. Incrementally so, but the light breaks into the darkness starting again today.
I love it. All right, I read this story this morning. A miracle only seen around Christmas time. A family lost its dog 4 years ago. They found the dog this week at a home that police associated with drugs in Minot. So it was a little English bulldog. It was very weak. But officials got a little bit of luck because the dog was microchipped, and they were able to contact the owners. So the owners are going to get their little dog home for Christmas. They haven't seen it in 4 years.
Okay, wow. So my favorite Christmas gift, this is actually going to, for people who have listened to you and I talk over the course of time, today worlds are going to converge because you had a week where we talked about the name of a dog. Well, my favorite Christmas gift was actually the gift of Luddy the Fourth, Ludwig von Schmittenhofer the Fourth Fowler. Like, I remember the Christmas we got him. Mm-hmm. And so in the whole worlds colliding thing, The recovery of a dog at Christmas, I think, is a great connecting point of many conversations you and I have had.
I agree. Well, you know, just because we are here at Christmas time, and I want to have as many feel-good stories as possible, because I talk to a lot of people, and I'm surprised at the level of stress that people are going through right now. And, you know, as you get a little bit older, Carmen, holidays become like a little magnifying glass on your life. Everything seems much bigger, doesn't it?
I think that's absolutely true. And I think that we tend to focus around the holidays on the losses and people who aren't present, maybe in ways that they have been in the past or in ways that we might hope. We focus on the empty chairs instead of, you know, genuinely focusing on what I think is always the greatest gift, which is the gift of presence, mm-hmm. the physical presence of other people. And we can be that, like, right? I mean, so at Christmas, I mean, what do we actually get? What's the whole point? The whole point is the incarnation of God in the person of Jesus Christ. It is about God drawing near to us in a way that that he had not done to that point and will never do in that same way again. Like, this is the all-sufficient incarnation. And so we who have a restored relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we then become the body of Christ in the world today. Like, we have an incarnational ministry. We're supposed to be putting flesh on the gospel for other people around us. So I guess my encouragement to everyone today, if you're a Christian, you need to put the flesh on the gospel for people. Like, be present for them. Don't worry so much about last-minute gifts. Just be the last-minute gift. Mm. A lot of people are very sad this time of year. They're grieving unresolved, you know, all kinds of stress and trauma in relationships. And we can actually be the people who bear light into those dark realities of the lives of our neighbors and our friends, and even just people standing with us in line. You know, don't be afraid to bear light and to be a light bearer, you know, while you're waiting in, you know, in a line, in the checkout line at the grocery store over this weekend, mm-hmm. Those kinds of things. Just take those opportunities to actually make physical and present the reality of Christ to others.
Carmen, how do you put your faith into action when you are confronted with things like, let's say, a loved one has a biopsy coming up in a week, and you're just a complete mess about it? When you're there's always something out there that could undo and unravel pieces of your world instantly. How do you continue to live with God as sovereign and in control, and I can put my trust in this, when there's a side of you that wants to just worry yourself and bite your fingernails off?
So for me personally, it's simply just resting in the reality of who God is. I mean, I've actually, it's interesting that you asked this question. I, over the last couple of weeks, actually the Friday after Thanksgiving, the Friday of Thanksgiving week, I started having double vision. Well, I've been a pincushion since then over at the Research Institute for Neuro-Ophthalmology, trying to figure out why I have double vision. And the answers to that question, there's some listeners right now who are thinking, you know, she's going to die. Okay, well, so at some point, you say to yourself, you know what? I'm going to die. I might not die from this, and I might not die anytime soon, but I am going to die. And that's actually the conversation, Bill, that I had with the neuro-ophthalmologist when he said, well, you're too happy to be really sick, so I don't expect to find any MRI, and they didn't. And he's like, but explain to me why you're, like, people are not happy and joyful when they're in here having these kinds of exams, and we're asking these kinds of questions, and we're facing these potential realities. And I said, look, because by then there were, like, six doctors in the room, because I've, like, become a, they can't find anything wrong why this is happening, so, which is great news. But I'm sitting there, and there's all these doctors in the room, and I looked around, and I said, look, let me just go ahead and tell you, if you don't already know, we're all going to die. The question is, are any of us going to live? And I'm choosing to live. Like, I'm alive. Like, right? Like, so there's joy in that. So I think, Bill, that it is about, it's not about us applying faith answers to questions as they come up. It's about being people of faith. It's about being people of faith and resting in the reality of who God is, mm-hmm. no matter what, mm-hmm. no matter what. Life is full of tragedy, unfortunately. I mean, we are fallen people, and we live in the reality of a fallen creation, but we also live in the reality of the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ, and that's our witness in the world. We are the redeemed people of God.
Carmen, it's just like you to have a room full of six doctors in white coats, and you've got their attention, and you're telling them that everyone's going to die, but you're choosing to live. That's such a great great message for all of us this Friday.
So everyone can laugh, because now the treatment that they're recommending at this point is that I wear a patch.
Oh,
so there you go.
Really?
Everyone can visualize that over Christmas. Carmen, the pirate hostess of Christmas.
Arr.
Mm-hmm.
And is that just to try to correct the double vision, or is that the new look you're going to have going forward?
Yeah, so it's just to alleviate me constantly straining to turn my head in such a way that I can see straight. So, so the double vision is apparently incrementally getting better. We don't know what caused it. We don't know why it's getting better, but they're hopeful that actually within a few weeks it will be resolved.
Nice.
So thanks. Thanks be to God.
The only time I could imagine this being an advantage is at dinner time. You look down and you go, oh, look at all this food. I can't eat half of this. All right, Carmen, let me take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our lovely conversation this morning. It's 16 minutes after the hour. Carmen LeBurge is my guest on our studio line. We'll be right back.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look.
Good morning. It's 18 minutes after the hour. Talking to Carmen LeBurge, a Friday morning guest. I always love talking to her. Carmen, there's recently an article, I think in The New Yorker, that Tim Keller wrote on the future of evangelism. Did you get a chance to see that?
Yeah, and so I think that this is a conversation that that our listeners need to become kind of proficient in. So this starts with, a meaning of words conversation. We actually need to know what the word evangelical or evangelical means.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know what evangelicalism is as a movement in a period of history. We need to understand how it differs maybe in the southern United States from the way evangelicalism is understood around the world. And I think most importantly, Bill, for Christians, we need to recognize who the evangel is and what the evangel is. Ultimately, we're talking about the gospel. And so I may be willing to describe myself as an evangelical in America because I'm actually willing to take the heat that comes with that term right now.
Mm-hmm.
But there may well be people listening who are saying, you know, I'm kind of shying away now from the term evangelical. Yes, I'm a born-again Christian. Yes, I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Yes, I believe in the miracles of Jesus. I mean, I believe in those things that evangelicals believe in. I believe that to be a Christian is not just to have a restored relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but to be a person who is then commissioned to make disciples of others. That's that's what an evangelical does. It's a person who has a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, a relationship with our neighbors. And then, you know, the evangelical part of that is that we introduce those two friends to each other.
Mm.
So I'm an evangelical if I'm a person who actually believes the gospel and then lives out the Great Commission of the gospel, that I'm seeking to advance the gospel always and in all ways. That's, in my view, what it means to be evangelical. Now, if I use that really broad term, most people listening are saying to themselves, I didn't know I was an evangelical. I thought I was a Lutheran. I thought I was a Presbyterian. I thought I was a non-denominational. Yeah, it's not a denominational moniker. It's an understanding of who the evangel is and what it means to advocate for Christ in the culture today. Do I understand why evangelicalism is under real scrutiny? Yes, I do. I understand that the term evangelicalism is now associated so significantly with one stream of political viewpoint that it's become very, very difficult for people to distinguish what's authentically Christian from what is maybe just understood culturally as red state politics.
Mm-hmm. A great memory verse of mine is Romans 1:16 that says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. And maybe the question in evangelism today is, how well are we loving the lost? How much do we love the lost?
I think that's absolutely right. I think that any time evangelicalism and evangelical people become overly focused on themselves and their own identity and their own collective ability to influence things like the political system, all of which are important, but any time that that becomes an internal focus instead of an external focus on the person who does not yet know Jesus, we have missed the point of the exercise.
Mm-hmm.
The evangelical means to be a person who is rightly restored to relationship with God and Jesus Christ, and then intensely interested in being actively used by God as an evangel, as a witness to the good news of the gospel, that that others might come to know God through Christ, which is the only hope of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. I think we've lost the heart of that.
Mm-hmm. Carmen, this week I had another regular guest of mine, Dr. Kent Kaiser, and he's chair of communications here at the University of Northwestern. And when he is teaching his students, he will stop them in their tracks when they say, "I feel," and he'll say, "No, mm-hmm. I want you to say, I think," because I think that we are constantly now being driven by people's feelings. And that's what I love about you is you always lead with your thinking, and that comes from God's word. So usually every time you open your mouth, I have a pen in my hand and I'm ready to write something down.
Now, some would say that's because my my mercy nerve is, I was going to try to remember the word of the day, is suffering from obdurmission.
Something like that.
Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. That was 10 minutes
so
ago.
We don't, you know, in the midst of all of this, we don't want our mercy, the mercy nature of who we are, to ever fail. Like, I want to feel the way Christ feels about things. I want to have the compassion of Christ. However, I always want to be applying the mind of Christ to the situations in the world that with which I'm confronted. And so even in those moments when I am moved, right, that's a feeling level thing. When I am moved, hopefully I am moved in the same way that God would be moved by something, by the circumstance of people, then I want to respond with by applying the mind of Christ to whatever that situation is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think there is a both and to that, but you're right. I probably if I err on the side of let's think through this. Let's arrive at the place where we can discern the mind of Christ on this particular issue, and then let's be bold in applying the mind of Christ in this situation, even if that feels a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Well, Carmen, I certainly wish you and your family a very, very Merry Christmas. And if I was a TV faith healer, I'd say double vision be gone.
All right, man. Hey, Merry Christmas to you and all of our friends in the Faith Radio Network, all your cities across the country. Blessings and peace, and we'll see you next Friday.
All right. Thanks, Carmen. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Yep. It's 25 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and be back.
The early bird catches the worm. The really early bird catches the early morning late show with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus is born.
Boy, I love that.
Go tell it.
Little JT? Nice. James Taylor. He can show up any season that I'm in and sing to me, and I'll be happy. Love James Taylor. Say, I was just having a little tiny check in my spirit, just so you know. I absolutely believe God's healing power in our lives completely. What I sometimes am a little leery of are some of the faith healers that I have seen on TV over the years.
You watch those shows?
Well, I can't help it sometimes, you know.
You got to listen to Faith Radio more.
I do, I do. So anyway.
You mean the one where the guy takes the jacket and starts whipping it at people and telling them to climb out of their wheelchairs?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess there is kind of a line in my heart. The Lord does unequivocally tell us to pray to him for healing, but that's
right.
the ticket, is that it comes from him. And nobody else that we're putting our trust
Absolutely.
In.
Absolutely. That's how I feel. And I'm just trying to be a little playful with Carmen. Because it sounds like she was just a bold witness on her double vision. And God, I probably no doubt, bring her to a nice conclusion on that, that concern she's had. So praying for you, Carmen, as always. And so nice that you're with us this morning. It is 30 minutes after the hour. We'll take a little break and be right back. Yes, I was. It is 26 minutes until the top of the hour. I met Dick Enberg. What a great guy. He actually saw me perform in San Diego. He came up to me and he said, "Oh my, that was funny." He gave me the "oh my." Never forget it. Very nice man. I believe he loves the Lord, too. That was very, very fun to meet. Very tall guy. He's about 6'4". All right, we're going to listen to a little something from Max Licato now.
You know, it's funny how Christmas makes the good better and the bad worse. There's something about Christmas that makes the good better and the bad worse. You know, the good times with family just seem even better, but the bad experiences seem even worse. And this is true for a person who might find themselves in the hospital at Christmas. Maybe you buried somebody that you love more than life, and this is your first Christmas alone. Maybe it's your first Christmas since the divorce. Maybe you're unemployed this Christmas. And so what's bad or what's difficult is even worse at Christmas.
That was Max Licato, always wise, always timely. We'll take a very short break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Alex McFarlane.
Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" It is the question, isn't it? This is Jim Garlow. Homelessness, world hunger, terrorism, the economy. What's the biggest issue of our time, of this season of the year? Who do you say that I am? Jesus asked. Until you know the answer to that question, you're not equipped to focus on all the other major questions of life. Until you're ready to answer Jesus' question, how will you ever answer the life's question of who you are, why you're here, and where you are going? Who is Jesus to you? He said of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Who is Jesus to you? This is Jim Garlow.
Good morning, 23 minutes until the top of the hour. Merry Christmas. Say that over and over and over. Never get tired of that. I have on our studio line Dr. Alex McFarland, my friend. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, and Merry Christmas to you, brother.
Merry Christmas to you. I am savoring the last few scoops of my Alex McFarland peanut butter. I don't even want to talk about it anymore because I don't want to overwhelm Google with people going, "How do I get some of this peanut butter?"
Well, I'll have to send you some more.
Well, I want to talk to you about that because I want to send you a check that includes the peanut butter and the shipping costs. So just so you know, I want this to be a legitimate business transaction.
Well, yes, you're very kind. And I appreciate you bringing up the peanut butter. You know, it's been a joy. I gave away, believe it or not, probably to, you know, friends and colleagues like yourself, I shipped out about 500 jars of peanut butter around the country.
Wow.
To people. Just to say Merry Christmas, and we're thinking about you. And the thing is, everybody has called back and said, "Oh my goodness, I have to have 3 jars of it or 4 jars of it." And we just don't, we're not ready for that yet.
Okay.
But we're getting there. I was on the phone yesterday with the guy who helps me produce it, and we're looking at how to up the production. But hey, I've got to say something. As I was on hold, and then you were sharing about how you met Dick Enberg,
mm-hmm.
and you said he was there. Were you in L.A.?
I was in San Diego.
San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And you said he was there to see you perform.
Yes.
And I was thinking, oh, wow, stage, screen, or television? What
stage.
Type of performance?
Stage.
Okay.
Yeah. I co-wrote a show, a comedy play called Triple Espresso, and it ran in San Diego for 10 years. It was the longest running show in the history of San Diego at year six, and we ran 10 years. Yeah. Yeah,
that's great.
And another,
is it online on video or something?
It's not on video, but it is online. You can go look to TripleEspresso.com. But it was also fun. We had Bill and Melinda Gates in the audience one night.
Wow.
That
Did
was
you take
fun.
An offering?
I wanted to. But
Yeah, for real.
We have some light audience interaction in the show, and he walked out and said, hey, thanks for not picking on me. I thought, boy, you bring Bill Gates on stage, and he becomes the show. The show stops.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, along that same line, may I briefly share how I met Steve Wozniak?
Oh, please.
Okay. Check this out. Okay. Bill Gates, one of the pioneers of modern computing, one of the richest men like ever. And in some way, wasn't Steve Wozniak back in that equation back in the 70s and 80s too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So check this out. I'm in the O'Hare Airport in Chicago. And I've got a layover. So I try to find an outlet where I can plug in my computer and work on a book. And I see a man, and he's got his back to most people, but he's got papers laid out all over the floor. And he's, you know, on the phone, but he's talking rather loudly. And I'm hearing this guy, and apparently what he's trying to do is book a yacht for a business meeting. And he's and I'm not trying to eavesdrop, but you can't help overhearing him because he's talking really loudly. He's like, yeah, I need a yacht. We're going to have about 90 people, and I want to go out at sunset. Yeah, yeah. And we got to have a steak dinner. And he goes, I don't know, a good steak, just a steak. And so he goes, yeah, and I want room for a band. There's going to be a small band, and then we need projection because we're going to have a meeting. And so this guy is like telling what he needs, and he's booking a yacht. So he goes, how much to hold it for me? How much of a deposit? And I forget what the number is. And he goes, okay. And he starts reading off this credit card number. And he's like giving his – seriously. And I look over there, and again, I'm not trying to, you know, get in his business, but
right.
He's holding a card. He's leaned over, and he's reading very loudly this – 16-digit credit card number. And he's like, Wozniak, Steve, W-O-Z. And I thought, oh, my goodness, that's the Woz. And I let him finish, and I go over there, and I start talking to him. Super, super, super nice guy. And he says, what do you do? And I said, well, I teach apologetics. He's like, what? What is that? And I said, well, it's the evidence for Christianity, like the Bible and history and archaeology and proof about the Bible. So I try to segue into talking about Jesus. I gave him one of my books, Stand, Core Truth for an Unshakable Faith. Super, super, super nice guy. And I just didn't have the courage to say, gee, I wish you would donate to my ministry. But at any rate, so you've met Bill Gates. I met Steve Wozniak.
Yeah, and you could have said, you don't need to donate to my ministry. I'll make one on your behalf.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, who knew you could put about a $20,000 deposit down and book a yacht with a steak dinner for your colleagues off the coast of Florida?
Speaking of yacht off the coast of Florida, when I was a kid, we took a vacation down to Key Biscayne, and my family went away and they did something for the day, and I was there on the canal. We had a little rental house on the canal. And I'm sitting there out by this in the backyard, and a Coast Guard boat comes through the canal, and then another Coast Guard boat comes through the canal, and then a yacht comes through the canal. And sure enough, there is the seal of the President of the United States, and there is Richard Nixon sitting on the front of the yacht with his little blue zip-up jacket that had the emblem of President of the United States. And I raced to the edge of the canal, and now he's 30 feet away from me as his yacht is passing me. And I said, hello, Mr. President. And he said to me, well, aren't you a fine young man? And I said, I wish my parents heard you say that. And I got a big laugh out of Nixon. I thought, isn't that cute? So there's my Nixon story.
That's pretty good. Hey, that was a good impression. Say that again.
Well, aren't you a fine young man?
That's really good. Yeah. Hey, our brushes with greatness. Our brushes with greatness. I bet we're up on a break.
Not yet, but we're close.
How much time do we have?
A minute.
Okay. Coolest thing in the world. I went to hear George W. Bush speak, and I went around behind the venue because I knew he would come out, and there's like three Suburbans, these big SUVs. The press comes, there's a flurry of activity, the SUVs go off in all these different directions. And I thought, man, you know, I didn't even get to see the president. So then pulls up a very nondescript, it was, I think, a Chrysler 300,
mm-hmm.
and the president and his wife get in that.
Yes.
And he's walking past me after everybody's gone, and he says, hello, young man. And that was my momentary brush with President Bush, the dad, HW, not W.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But it was the coolest bait and switch because all of the press ran after the three black SUVs.
Sure.
And then after the crowd was gone, out comes the president and gets in a very nondescript car.
That's so interesting. All right, Alex, I'll take a little break. I want to continue our brush with greatness concept. I've got a little story I want to talk to you about. It's 15 minutes until the top of the hour. I'll be back with Alex McFarland in just a minute. It is 13 minutes until the top of the hour. I'm speaking to Dr. Alex McFarland. And Alex, we're talking about brushes with greatness, and it's always fun to meet people and to come across people that you've admired and our stories are kind of fun to banter around. There's an interesting story of what happened in 2007. You may remember this story. It was an article that Gene Weingartner wrote for the Washington Post, and it was called Pearls Before Breakfast. Do you remember that story at all? Does that ring a bell?
I do not.
Okay, let me just tell you what happened. Joshua Bell, the world's one of the finest musicians in the world, violinist, decided to do this social experiment where he went into the LaFont station in Washington, D.C. During rush hour and opened up his violin case and played about six Bach pieces for about 45 minutes. And 1,048 people passed him, and only about six people stopped to listen. Now, 3 days before that, at the metro station, he filled the house at Boston Symphony Hall, where the sold out seats, the cheapest ones were about $100. And before that, he was at another concert where he would play to standing room only audience, and people would be so respectful of his artistry that they stifled their coughs. Now he's in a train station, 1,048 people walk by him. Joshua Bell, he's playing a $3.5 million Stradivarius.
Yes.
And nobody notices him, pays attention to him. And it just made me think of the birth of Jesus, this little obscure town in Bethlehem. Would anybody notice?
You know, I do remember that story now. And it's true. I mean, that which a lot of people glibly dismiss and brush off as meaningless is the most important, most valuable brush with greatness, because Jesus, the Son of God, born in the Bethlehem manger, I mean, this is our brush with deity. You know, I think about this, Bill, how the American atheist, David Silverman and the American atheist, who, by the way, talk more about God than most preachers I know, but they rant against God. They put up these billboards of the manger scene, and it says fake news, as if Jesus was never born. All right, think about this. A lot of the atheists who just rail against God, they deny Jesus ever existed. Richard Carrier at Columbia University is an atheist. He's a historian, a PhD, and a philosopher. And even Richard Carrier, who is an atheist, says that there are maybe six professional historians in the world that would question the existence of Jesus and the birth of Jesus. That of professional historians who have earned degrees in what we call historiography, mm-hmm. how we actually do history. Many don't believe in Jesus, but they would not dare question the reality that he lived. This is historical. Christ came. And yet here is God coming to the earth to be our Savior, to give us his love and forgiveness. And yet, just as the violinist in the train station was ignored, many ignore the greatest moment of history in which God came into this world because he loves us. And so to everyone listening, I would say, please, this Christmas, don't miss the fact that out of love for you, because you matter to God, the Savior came. And not only near, but he can be personal and an absolute reality within us.
Mm-hmm. And then just out of curiosity and to complete the story, Joshua Bell decided that he would go back and announce that he would go back to that very same train station and play a free concert. And it's really fun to go on the internet and look at that crowd. You have never seen more people packed into a train station in your life.
Wow. And they could have heard the concert as a freebie if they had recognized, you know,
who he was.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. And people had their headphones on and they ignored him. And the only person that stopped for any length of time was about a 6-year-old boy. That I think a parent was on a phone making a call, and the boy just looked at him with complete wonder, which he went, boy, that is not just like it. You know, come to me, all you little children.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, you played a great Max Licato clip while I was holding about how Christmas makes the good better, and sometimes Christmas seems to intensify the pain. But, you know, I guess I love at Christmas to try to, for just a while, put down the burdens of adulthood and the stress and the rushing around and, you know, all of those things that even as Christians, even as believers, we get encumbered with, you know, materialism and so many of the distractions and the white noise of life, you know, the buzz of life. And just to pause and to think about the things that matter most, the things that really are eternal, and that's the love of Christ, the love of our family, the truth of God's word, the reality of having a relationship with God. So, you know, I always try just to really be very intentional about being quiet before God and being grateful and worshiping him. Like a child in wonder would stare at a violinist in a train station.
Mm-hmm.
Just to stop and appreciate the beauty of it all.
Yeah. Alex, give us some encouragement as to how to pray about broken hearts and broken bodies that need healing this Christmas.
Oh, great, great question. You know, life is hard. I mean, we live in a fallen world, and marriages break up. Children can go prodigal. Loved ones die. And for many people, you know, Christmas Day is going to be a time of some loneliness, or there might be an empty chair at the table this year. Friend, the Bible says this. I'm going to give you one verse in Matthew 6, verse 8. The Bible says, God knows what you need even before you ask. God knows what you need even before you ask. And the good news is, as hard as this life can be, this life is merely the front doorstep.
Mm.
And the inside of the beautiful mansion is eternity. Turn to Christ. You've got a home in heaven, you've got a father who loves you, and you've got a family that can never be taken away, which is the body of Christ. And find your solace and your comfort in Jesus, because it is very real, and he loves you very much.
Those are such good words, Alex. I don't know what to say after that. You are such a comforting voice on Faith Radio. I just love you, and I appreciate your ministry, and I know that every weekend you are out tirelessly advancing the gospel, making disciples, and defending the faith. So I'm also just admire you a great deal. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Hey, do I have 30 seconds
of course.
To share a song lyric?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, hey, and I love you, brother, and Merry Christmas. Listen to this, folks. This is awesome. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now listen. Then pealed the bells more wild and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong will fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's Christmas, and it's very true and real.
Wow. I'm actually a little choked up right now, so I'm going to have to go to break. But thank you, Alex, and I'll speak to you again soon.
Bless you.
Bless you, too. 4 minutes until the top of the hour. I'll be right back with more in just a minute.
The world revolves from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chance of life. Peace on earth.
Thank you to Dr. Alex McFarland. I always enjoy him on the show. Boy, we've got an interesting second hour coming up. Ace Collins, he's an author. And when I say author, I'm not kidding. Ace Collins has written, I'm not making this number up, 95 books. Again, I go to the fact I have not read 95 books. And I have a college degree, as far as you know. And then we've got Adam Weber, our friend and pastor from Sioux Falls. And he's written a book, and he's written a great article on keeping the fire going, keeping the fire alive in your heart for the Lord. That's a second hour straight up next. Be back in a minute.
It's the early morning late show with Bill Arnold.
Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.